You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, you can be one of the many folks, the growing number of people, subscribing to Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. That's our Sunday newsletter that we put out at Up North News, more of a politically themed newsletter compared to the Wisconsin feature stories that you get on the weekdays from us. And it includes our question of the week, and we ask, should Dreamers be deported from the only country they've ever known? It's something that President Trump continues to target and advocate for. Most recently, I see a news story today in the New York Times about going after financial aid for the children of undocumented immigrants. Again, these are people who have only ever known the United States. They've done their thing. They've worked hard in school. They've done their homework. They've gotten good grades. Of course, their parents are working typically in low-wage jobs, and so to make something of themselves, to live, you know, the American dream, might require some financial assistance, and some states see that as an opportunity to train a new generation of workers, come to our university, stay here, become taxpayers and citizens in our state. But not for Donald Trump, who wants to end all of those financial assistance programs, round them all up, put them in camps, send them wherever. So what do you think of it? Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, subscribe to our newsletters, and be the first to get our question of the week on Sunday mornings. Tomorrow on the program, we will have Dr. Kristen Lyerly, as always on Friday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour, along with Mike Clemens, who at about 8:35 on Fridays gets us set up for the weekend in sports. And of course, we'll have our week in review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob. They all come up in the 7 a.m. hour tomorrow here on the program. Looking forward to having you along then as well. But again, for today, Congressman Mark Pocan will be here just over an hour from now. The headline across national news outlets right now is all about states having to go their own way when it comes to vaccine guidelines and mandates. Because not only do you have quackery in charge of the White House and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, but you now have the first state saying it's going to get rid of all vaccine mandates, including for children. And that, of course, would be the dysfunctional state of Florida, where, again, this was the state that was first to really buck safeguards during COVID, and their death rate shot up like a rocket out of Cape Canaveral. And for the leaders there, it was like, well, that's no big deal. You know, thinning the herd, as it were, which apparently is in their mind, a valid scientific approach to take. For the rest of us, not so much. And that's why you see states that are starting to go it alone. There is, for example, a new West Coast Health Alliance made up of California, Oregon, and Washington State. And they are going to basically, well, their goal is to, quote, ensure that residents remain protected by science and not by politics, say the three Democratic governors of those states. The alliance will provide recommendations to residents on immunizations and ensure the public gets credible information on vaccine safety and efficacy. The governors say the partnership is a unified response to what they call the Trump administration's destruction of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the federal agency that's supposed to be responsible for vaccine guidance. But a lot of those folks have been fired by Kennedy and have been replaced by similar quacks who want to cast doubts on, you know, science, facts, things like that. Here's the thing. The Florida Surgeon General said in getting rid of these vaccine mandates said, your body is a gift from God. Well, this all is in keeping with the ultimate far-right goal, which is self-policing. we typically see it with those, you know, those evil regulations, the red tape that they say is choking business and industry and so-called job creators. And if you only let them police themselves, everything will be fine, because they'll tell you it's in their own best interest to police themselves in order to be assured of ongoing profits. That is, of course, uproariously stupid. A corporation isn't worried about ongoing profits. They want profits this quarter, and they couldn't care less about the damage being done in the future, whether it's to the environment, to workers, to customers, anyone but themselves and other shareholders. Self-policing is antithetical to a functional society. A functional society needs rules, needs standards, needs shared facts. That's not some stinging indictment of humanity. It just is what it is. If there weren't speed limits, you're going 90 miles an hour doesn't make you a bad person, especially the 99% of the time that it doesn't cause trouble. But we know that if everyone did 90 all of the time, the carnage would hit all of us. Someone we know, maybe our children, left dead on the road. And that's what Kennedy, Trump, and others don't mind. Children left dead on the road through lack of vaccinations, if it means that they can attract enough fringe support to keep winning elections and stay in power. Dr. Oz summed it up yesterday in an interview, saying, "This is a decision that a physician and a patient should be making together. Parents love their kids more than anybody else could love that kid, so why not let the parents play an active role in this?" Well, Dr. Oz, they can play an active role in their child being safe or their child being in harm's way. The difference is that they can also play a role not only in their child being in harm's way, but all of the children around them being in harm's way. A child not being vaccinated based on a shared set of facts and standards and science is akin to that child doing 90 miles an hour cruising down Main Street right past your kid's school. A bunch of other kids doing 90 leaves other kids dead on the road. And so that's why I'm happy to see the beginnings of sanity returning to American leadership, even if it's got to happen at the state level. Because yes, every child's body is a gift from God, and there are still enough of us who know God isn't stopping measles or COVID. God is trusting humanity enough to use the gifts we were given, to use our brains, our science, and our hearts to take care of ourselves and every child. Today's history lesson is coming up next, the Midwest Farm Report first, here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back at 6:22 on the text line here. From Jim in Brookfield, good morning, Pat. You look and sound well, so the CPAP must be working. Are you going through a lot of distilled water? Thank you, Jim, for the note. That's very kind of you. I think the 8 hours of sleep probably helped more than anything.
Typically,
at this point.
Sleep is good. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, more sleep would be helpful. But the CPAP, yes, it is working out great. Thank you very much. It is just... again, this thing I thought would be claustrophobic, and it has actually turned out to be just something almost comforting. It's like, okay, you know, focus on your breathing and just fall asleep. And what do you know? I focus on my breathing and I just fall asleep. That thing I've been telling myself to do for 30 years. I just needed something on my face to just go, stay here, stay on the pillow and think about your breathing. And sure enough, it works. As far as the distilled water, for folks that don't know, and I certainly didn't know, but yeah, there's a little water tank. You put a little distilled water in it every evening, and that way it provides like a little bit of, you know, humidity in it. It regulates the humidity so you're not just sucking in dry air. And you have to remember to do that, because once or twice now, I've woken up in the middle of the night and it's like, something doesn't feel right, and you realize that the water tank has gone dry. But again, I say all this, why are you talking about the CPAP so much? Because I talked so much beforehand about, I don't want to do this, I'm in denial, etc. So if you suspect sleep apnea is a thing, then have somebody check in on it. And yeah, I'll go through a gallon of distilled water every couple of weeks. Small price to pay for getting a little bit more sleep. So thank you again, Jim, for the note. I appreciate it very much. Again, tomorrow, Congressman Mark Pocan will be joining us, as will Sean O'Malley, talking about your money and the markets. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki tomorrow. Todd Alba, Chad Holmes, all going to be stopping by. But of course, we have plenty to get to today, including word that the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, is planning a visit to Minneapolis, specifically, of course, to deal with and show some respect for the victims of the recent church school shooting at Annunciation Catholic Church. And the Vice President's office talks about, meeting with some of the families, etc. And of course, the Vice President has also offered up thoughts and prayers. Well, again, that's a choice that you make, is to offer up thoughts and prayers rather than any concrete action that could make our kids safer. There is, of all the news coverage around it, this line I want to pick on, because it's rather emblematic of my hangups with the media today, okay? The paragraph reads like this, and it's from the website Bring Me the News. The shocking incident, it's not that shocking in America these days, I hate to say, the shocking incident has sparked an outpouring of grief and demands for action, with Democratic leaders in Minnesota calling for gun control measures, including a ban on assault weapons, while Republicans have criticized Democrats for politicizing the mass killing. Now, again, that's a choice to use that language. Republicans have criticized Democrats for politicizing the mass killing. Rather than feeding into the Republican talking point, that line could have just as easily said Democratic leaders calling for gun safety measures, including a ban on assault weapons, while Republicans have continued to oppose gun safety measures for about 25 years. That's what that line could have said, to in fact be more factual. It's not fact-based to say Democrats are politicizing the mass killing. It is fact-based to say that Republicans have been blocking gun safety measures since they got rid of the assault weapons ban back in around 2004. And again, that's a choice that they make. I took note, of course, that the Vice President is coming to this church school in Minneapolis. We did not see a similar high-profile visit to Milwaukee after flash flooding went through the city of Milwaukee. What we're getting instead is all this tough talk from Trump and Vance about, not just thoughts and prayers, but let's get tough on shooters by putting troops in the streets. And the troops in the streets have not made a damn bit of difference in Los Angeles or Washington, D.C., and they can say it all day long that they've suddenly made the streets safer. They've been picking up garbage. They've been wasting our tax dollars instead of putting resources into crime prevention and law enforcement. Their idea of action is to put more guns on the street, to put more soldiers on the street. And although Trump talked the other day about putting troops on the streets of Chicago, he's also talked about the same thing in Minneapolis. So there'll be this very emotional visit by the Vice President today, but it will be followed up by the usual tough talk about, well, we got to put troops on the streets. But more guns and more thoughts and prayers are not going to solve this problem. And Democrats need to stop playing nice about this and need to call out Republicans for their perverted definition of the Second Amendment. The meaning of the Second Amendment has been completely lost over the past 50 years or so. The well-regulated militia. And instead, folks are afraid to do anything. Even though when we actually did things like the assault weapons ban for 10 years, it worked. Democrats, the people are on your side. Talk tougher, promise strong action about getting weapons of war off our streets and keeping our children safe, and calling out Republicans who only want to put more guns on the streets and more troops on the streets for offering up nothing real that will keep our kids safe. Nothing real. Permanent troops on our streets, well, that's just a police state. And I know the Milwaukee Police Union chief basically said, I welcome the troops. Troops can come to Milwaukee. That's because that's the tough talk thing you can say. What he can't say is, I'm sick and tired of Republicans in the legislature and in Congress underfunding our needs in Milwaukee and America's other cities for partisan and racial reasons. If you want to be more honest, say that, because that's what actually exists in our country right now, and it's not going to be fixed until we start giving the voters what they really want, which is not thoughts and prayers, not more guns. They want action. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north. Hey, just a reminder, you can follow us on social media. We are now on Blue Sky as an alternative to the dumpster fire once known as Twitter. You can also follow Up North News at Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Just search for Up North News WI to make sure that you get the right Up North News on your social media feed. Let's do our weekly Way Up North segment where we talk to folks up in the Superior, Ashland, Bayfield areas and some of the adjoining neighborhood communities there. And we'll start up in Superior today and visit with the mayor there, Jim Payne. Mayor Jim, how are you?
Very good. Good morning. How are you, Pat?
Very good. Did you have a good holiday weekend?
Yeah, I did. Very busy, but it was a lot of fun. Weather was gorgeous up here.
Oh, gosh. It was just amazing. We've got Tony, who's up in Ashland, was listening to the forecast here and was telling us about some of the leaves are changing colors already, and that, you know, you have to look forward to it. You know, there's no two ways about it. He says, I'm ready for fall. Saw some leaves turning this weekend up in Washburn, and it's going to be gorgeous. It really is. I can't wait to start doing some fall road trips.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Well, let's talk about, you said it was a busy weekend here, and I know one of the events that was going on up in the Superior and Duluth areas was a Festival of Pride, and a lot of people associate that with Pride Month in June, but I'd kind of like to learn more about the celebration there in the Twin Ports area about this time of year and some of the things that were going on.
Yeah, our Pride weekend is Labor Day weekend in the Twin Ports, and there's a very special reason that we don't celebrate Pride in June. We celebrate it here in the fall, and that's because we have one of the oldest Pride festivals in the country. We've been doing this for 39 years. So a lot of folks know that Pride is celebrated in June around the country because it is the commemoration of the Stonewall riots. Well, just because the Stonewall riots happened in the late 70s doesn't mean people were kicking off Pride festivals the next year. There were a few rogue cities that had some protests and action to follow that up in the years that followed, but the vast majority of communities for decades did nothing at all to recognize this community. But Superior, Wisconsin has been celebrating Pride for longer than any other community in Wisconsin and longer than almost any other community in the country.
Now, I also heard that there's, you know, college students, you know, are there at one time a year versus, you know, another time a year, and that you have the community there as well. So it just sounds like, I mean, this isn't just something that y'all slap together. This is a very real community event.
It really is. And we call it Twin Ports Pride now, and we're very happy to have many other communities in the area joining us. But because Superior is the founder and the host, I am a little shameless in describing the fact that most of those other communities started joining us 20 years after we began this festival. So yeah, the whole community turns out. It really is an exciting event, and it gets bigger every year.
We're talking to Jim Payne, mayor of Superior, here on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the news stories that people have associated with Superior deals with lead water service lines. And a lot of people think, oh, that's a Milwaukee thing. It is most definitely not. It gets a lot of the attention, Wisconsin's biggest city and all of that. But there are issues all over the state, including in Superior. And Superior has a very unique setup with the water utility, which has made it an additional challenge. You're looking at potentially changing how the water utility is operated in Superior. Can you give folks some background on it?
Yeah, that's right. Superior is the only privately owned water utility in the state of Wisconsin. In fact, privately owned water utilities have become very rare throughout the United States. We are the only citizens of Wisconsin that do not own and control our own water. This is the only place on Lake Superior that can and does sell Lake Superior water at a profit. And every other community in Wisconsin, the people own their water. And we also have the most expensive water rates in the entire state. That is not a coincidence. Those two things are directly connected because, unlike other citizens of Wisconsin, a big chunk of our bill is not going to operating the water utility. You, Pat, everything you pay for a water bill, if you have one, you might be on a well, I don't know. Any other person in Wisconsin paying a water bill is only paying for the cost of operating the water utility. We pay that and a profit to shareholders of Minnesota Power.
That is amazing. And it's been that way for 135 years to see one news story about it. So what is it that you might end up doing?
We might end up reclaiming it. The water belongs to the people. That part of the law is very clear. Now, because they've been operating it as a franchise for a long time, there's a certain amount of reimbursement that would have to happen. But that really doesn't intimidate me. If we inherit the water, we inherit the current rates, and which is far more revenue than we would ever need to operate the water utility because we don't have shareholders to pay. We have executives. I'm one of them, but I make not even a fifth of what the current operator of the water utility makes. All of our costs are considerably lower. And we know this because we already operate a wastewater utility, which should be much more expensive than a water utility. Pretty hard to turn toilet water back into Lake Superior water. But the fact is that utility is operated much more affordably than the water utility. So costs should come down in the long term, but affording it shouldn't be a huge problem. But ultimately, we need the people or the city council to decide.
I guess coming at this from an outside perspective, I'm surprised that it has, I guess, taken this long that people would look at this issue and go, why are we paying so much more? And why is it that we're paying shareholders rather than controlling our own water supply? Was a lot of this recent talk driven by replacing the lead service lines?
No, it's been something we've talked about for a couple of years. It got quite a bit more serious around the time of the lead lines because that was just the latest symptom of the problem. You know, when a private company owns it, they will only ever pursue shareholder profits. I'm not even criticizing them for that. That's what they're supposed to do. And so when we had a very serious public health crisis, obviously, you can't trust a private company to put public health first. They have to put private shareholder profit first. And so a lot of this we learned challenging a different monopoly. Last time I was on here, we talked about challenging the internet monopoly. That took us 6 years to put together. So this is a long conversation. It's been going on for a while, but it's time to start bringing it more into the public square.
But it appeared to be a case of even if there was financial aid available from the federal government or the state government, that money would go to the private entity with not necessarily any guarantee that they would put 100% of that money toward the lead water line replacement. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's pretty close. The fact is, they do have an interest in driving up costs because they get to add automatically around a 10% profit to everything they do. And it's a guarantee. It's a monopoly. The state allows this. So imagine any other business, any other investment where you had a guaranteed 10% return on your investment. It means they have every incentive of driving up costs because 10% of 200 is more than 10% of 100. So it's just more, it would have been more affordably done under public management. And we see that across the state.
There was a story that Wisconsin Public Radio did much earlier this year, back in March, that said that the previous fall, the Public Service Commission approved a roughly 11% increase in water rates. The average resident among the utility's 10,000 customers pays nearly $59 a month, second highest next to the Waukesha Water Utility. And Waukesha has had its share of water debates because they're not right on the lake, but obviously they need the lake, so they incur some costs. So it's not like you're saying, you know, the water isn't free. You still have to operate the utility, but why are you adding these extra costs if you don't have to?
Well, and I noticed that you said it was an 11% rate increase. That is true. And it was a it's always a double digit rate increase every single time. But they didn't ask for an 11% increase, Pat. They asked for an 18% increase. We had to fight them to the mat at the PSC to show that these were wildly inflated costs. And the PSC, which historically has given them whatever they wanted, did finally have to recognize after overwhelming public opposition that 18% was just too much. This battle's not over. They can ask for another rate increase this spring. So yes, this is something that will not go away. They will only ever try and increase the cost.
So what then, and I know we've spoken about this previously with State Representative Angela Stroud, but what was it that the legislature was on the verge of doing, which had people like Representative Stroud very unhappy? And then what ended up happening in the end, that was, from what I understand, much more of a partnership involving the state, the local governments, the water utility. But what was the original intent of the legislature in this last session?
It was always supposed to be a partnership. The fact is, Wisconsin does have some antitrust laws and does have laws on the books to protect the public from private monopolies. And so there was a law that prohibited private companies from receiving federal water grants like we were talking about to replace the lead lines. They were prohibited because they were a private company. They wanted to change that law. We said, sure, we want access to that money too. But since we're the city, you should have us administering that grant. The money should come to us. We should run the program. That is how every other state grant to a private company works. And we have tons of experience with this. In fact, we do receive these grants on the wastewater side. They were cool with that. And then all of a sudden they weren't. They wanted the money to come directly to them to just be eligible the same way municipalities are eligible. Angela Stroud and I objected to that. And in the end, we created a contract between the company and the city that said we would do what we initially asked for. We will run the lead line replacement program. We will put out the bids. We will oversee the program to ensure the costs are as low as possible for customers.
We're talking to Mayor Jim Payne of Superior. And just one last thing I wanted to bounce off you. And earlier this hour, I was talking about a new article in this morning's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from in Abbotsford in Clark County. And obviously very reliant on migrant labor on the farms and the meat processing plants and elsewhere, and the nervousness that's up there. The Twin Ports area, I'm sure, has to have had these discussions as well. Your concerns with the current administration and what happens with the workforce, cracking down not on the violent criminals they kept talking about, but basically just anybody that they feel like profiling and taking into custody.
Well, I have two feelings about this, Pat. First, Superior and the Twin Ports has always been an immigrant community. It was always a place where people came from around the world to find work and opportunity. It is still that today. We regularly have a large population of non-English speakers from around the world because this is an international port. So we are used to immigrants in this community. It's how we've built this community. Now, in terms of migrant labor, there's really two kinds, documented and undocumented. And when folks are undocumented, if that's a crime, the person committing the crime is the person that hired them, often trucked them up here, engaging in very real human trafficking, and pays them unfair wages or downright exploits them. Both of those things need to be addressed. And we often look at this very strangely when we see vulnerable people that don't speak English that were put in the back of a truck to come up and work for sometimes criminally low wages. Those are the people that get arrested, but the people that did that to them are allowed to keep doing that. The administration has its priorities backwards. But ultimately, yes, we do need labor up here. We are in a workforce shortage. We have been for years. We have to build a billion-dollar bridge here in just a couple of years. We need workers to do that. We haven't been able to supply workers to grow our economy. Where are they supposed to come from?
Superior Mayor Jim Payne, as always, wonderful background on these very important issues. And Jim, I'm glad you had a good holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Again, our newest reporter for Courier Newsroom out in Washington, D.C., Cam Stevenson, is coming up next hour, along with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Put your hands up.
Parker's got the dance. He's got the dance figured out. He knows the video.
Oh yeah.
For today's birthday girl, Beyonce. Beyonce Knowles is 44 years old today. Happy birthday to Beyonce. You know, formerly of Destiny's Child, but I guess she's done some pretty cool things on her own as well.
I didn't know she was formerly of anything. I thought she was just her.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Destiny's Child?
Yeah.
Doesn't ring a bell? No?
Not okay. As much of a bell as it should.
I guess not. Okay. Did you know that Coke changed its formula in 1984?
Oh,
anyway, we'll save that for another time. Got to buy this man a history book. Anyway, on this day in 1957, the governor of Arkansas called out the National Guard to prevent 9 black students from enrolling in Little Rock Central High School. A couple of weeks later, President Eisenhower would federalize the Arkansas National Guard and order it to protect students and allow them to enter. That's how you use the National Guard if you are president. Anyway, on this day in 1961, President Kennedy authorized the Agency for International Development, USAID. It would become the world's largest aid agency with missions in more than 100 countries in areas like health, education, environmental protection, embracing democracy. In just the 20 years from 2001 to 2021, an estimated 92 million deaths were likely averted thanks to USAID funding. It was originally designed by JFK as the soft power alternative to prevent countries from getting cozy with the Soviet Union. Now, of course, dealt a death blow by Donald Trump, it's China that is using its soft power to provide aid and business partnerships and potential military alliances as well. But USAID was formed 64 years ago today. All right, let's go to 1976 now, where the number one album was Fleetwood Mac's self-titled album. The thing about this self-titled album going to number one in 1976, some albums, they fly up the charts, others not so much. This one had been released a year ago and was finally really getting traction with Rihanna, Over My Head, Say You Love Me, and more. And again, was the number one album this week in 1976. On this day in 1940, CBS began broadcasting television as a single station in New York City, station W2XAB. It really doesn't flow off the tongue the same way that CBS does.
No, not know. Quite. Too many
this
letters.
This is the W2XAB Evening News with Walter Cronkite. Just doesn't have the same sound to it. By the way, speaking of CBS, happy birthday to The Price is Right. That song just says, I was too sick to go to school today, and so I'm going to be watching daytime TV with Bob Barker. America's longest-running game show made its debut on CBS, this day in 1972. It was not really a debut so much as it was a revival. It was similar to a game that ran called The Price is Right from 1956 to 1965. But that earlier version in black and white, it was a lot more sedate. You know how you have those four contestants that bid on a prize and then one of them gets to come up on stage and play other games?
Yeah.
Well, the old black and white show in the 50s and 60s, the whole show was just the four contestants repeatedly bidding on various prizes. And it was this new version in 1972 that added all the other little games. Like, remember Lucky 7? To get a new car, you had to have the 7 $1 bills. And you had to have at least one left as you guessed the numbers and the price of the car, which was a lot easier back in the days that I was watching it when a new car was like, you know, $4,822.
Not as many options.
Nope. And what's the other game? Oh, Cliffhanger with the yodeling mountain climber. I think they still use that one as well. It started off as like a rotation of like 5 of these games, and there are now more than 70. Of these games that Drew Carey, the host, rolls through now. Do you have a favorite?
I don't know quite enough about The Price is Right. I'm not sure if I've ever seen like a full episode and only just clips of it. I know. Once again, sorry.
You did not come here for the abuse, and yet you hear a whole bunch of us rattling our canes and our walkers going, what? What?
Yeah. Anyway,
let's go back to 1976. I said that Fleetwood Mac had the number one album. The number one single this day in 1976 was by the Bee Gees.
Oops.
No.
No, it wasn't.
No.
There it is. Now it is.
There we go.
We've just had so much Bee Gees lately, I didn't want to.
Now, you might think that it was number one because of its appearance in Saturday Night Fever, but you'd be wrong because the movie hadn't come out yet. It predated the movie, but the song would be part of the soundtrack a year later when Saturday Night Fever came out. On this day in 1951, Frank Sinatra played Las Vegas for the first time at the Desert Inn Hotel and Casino. By 1959, he was the city's top draw. And then later, of course, moved on to the Sands, because Sinatra Live at the Sands with the Count Basie Orchestra is simply one of the greatest albums you could ever own. And why you don't is a mystery to me. You got to go out and get that. What do the kids call it? Download it?
Is that what you
do with music nowadays?
I look it up and I hit play.
There you go. So that was 1951, Sinatra playing Vegas for the first time. Let's go to 1971, where Bruce Springsteen was playing a show in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and the E Street Band finally came together when saxophone player Clarence Clemons joined the band on stage for the first time. I miss the big man. Loved hearing him play sax. Now up to 1982, and here's some deja vu. Steve Miller Band hit number one this day, 43 years ago, with this song. There it is. Abracadabra, number one song this week in 1982. Here's a little Alpha and Omega from the corporate world. On this day in 1888, George Eastman registered the trademark Kodak and received a patent for his camera that uses rolls of film. That was 1888. Fast forward 110 years to the day. On this day in 1998, Google was formally incorporated by two students at Stanford University. So happy birthday to Google. I can't remember if I told this story a week or two ago or so about the day that I was at a some kind of a training seminar or whatever, and it was about internet searches. This is 2001. So the internet's not brand new, but obviously still in its relative infancy. And we were using like Alta Vista and Ask Jeeves and some of Yahoo. And one of the guest speakers was like, you guys, there's this new search engine called Google. It's going to change everything. And we all gave it a try and we're like, oh yeah, somebody figured it out.
this is how this should work.
You can search the internet and actually get the things that you want, which is what Google did for about, 20 years. And now I'm sure I'm not the only person saying this. Google searches aren't what they used to be. It's like, I don't want to see all these sponsored links first. Just give me the answer,
Yeah.
And isn't that the way about everything? Facebook, it used to be a sequential list of the things your friends were posting. I just want to see what my friends are posting in the order they posted it. Facebook, Google, all the rest of you, Twitter. Why can't you just go back to the thing you invented that people liked?
I love how old man screams at cloud you sound right now, but you're 100% right.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm screaming at the cloud that is Google. I'm completely guilty of that.
That's fair.
Let's see, Tony. I'm sure Parker remembers the Steve Miller Band like it was yesterday.
I've heard this song at least three times now. The time I recorded it this morning, the time I accidentally played it a minute ago, and now.
And it's tied to UW-Madison, which I guess you'll have to look into later.
What?
In that history book I'm going to buy you.
Here we go. That's not in the history lesson today?
No. There's some things you got to look up on your own. You know what you do? You Google it.
Yeah.
See what I did there? Okay. here's a little audio now from a TV show, a brand new show this day in 2002. Well, the season finale of a new series back in 2002 called American Idol. And here was the first winner. Now, of course, you have to wait.
It's a lot of waiting.
Kelly, Justin.
Let's wait some more.
Yeah. Still
the
waiting.
The winner of American Idol.
Yeah.
2002 is... Kelly Clarkson.
There we go.
Yay!
Why does every reality show have to do that now?
Yeah.
Why?
I thought it was
again,
funny.
Old man yelling at Cloud. I don't just tell me who won. Just, the winner is. And then you get, it's basically the whole thing I like about the Saturday Night Live skit, the Californians,
yeah.
is that that's what it does. It just takes all those camera shots of everybody and plays the dramatic music. Just tell me who won. Why is this so hard?
The music was okay. Absolutely sending me. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I forgot American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Yep. Back to the history lesson. On this day in 1993, this was a big deal. Everybody had already was admiring Jim Abbott, a pitcher with one hand, and his ability to be an amazing pitcher, to make it to the major league level. He'd pitch. He would instantly throw the glove off into his other hand if need be to catch the ball and field. And he did all those things wonderfully, and everybody was very happy for him. On this day in 1993, he took it up a notch and threw a no-hitter against Cleveland at Yankee Stadium this day in 1993. On this day in 2012, Imagine Dragons released their debut album, Night Visions. Okay, now this is where we turn the tables and, Parker gets to school me on, what the kids are like in these days.
Yeah.
Imagine Dragons. Okay, they had this debut album. It took off like crazy.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, there was a very noticeable backlash to Imagine Dragons.
Oh.
Are they still as renowned as they were 13 years ago? He's taking this big inhale right now. Like, he's either has no idea why I'm asking about this, or he genuinely doesn't know. Or maybe it's both. I don't know.
A little bit of both. I will say I don't think Imagine Dragons is as big as it used to be. I didn't know that there was big backlash to them. I thought they just got less popular.
There is an infamous Washington Post music critic review of an Imagine Dragons album, maybe their follow-up one. And just how vapid and empty it was, and it's symbolic of how empty and corporatized music has become. Oh, it's a work of art, but that doesn't necessarily mean the end of Imagine Dragons. That's the thing. Huh. On this day in 2016, Mother Teresa was canonized by Pope Francis as a saint at a ceremony in the Vatican. Today is National Wildlife Day, and it's National Macadamia Nut Day,
Woo-hoo!
Which should not be a thing. Not just the day, the nut. It's garbage. This we are here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.